Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Hustler Next Door by K.A. Tucker. Narrated by Tina Wollstonecroft. Chapter 1.
Half of Boston must be here.
My calf muscles strain as I stretch on my tiptoes, striving to see over the bulky winter jackets and capped heads. It's pointless. There are too many people, and as usual, my diminutive stature works against me. Mom waves off my protests.
It'll move fast. It always does.
She's right, of course. Rain, snow, or sunny summer skies, mornings at Sam's Pastry are always hectic, as Bostonians flock to the iconic downtown bakery for their cannoli fix. Even now, only days after everyone has renewed their gym memberships and made New Year's resolutions about pious lives of salads and spin classes, bodies are stuffed into this storefront, like the rows of cream-filled pastries in the display cases ahead. 5 separate lines wait impatiently for service, while a crowd loiters outside in the frigid January air. Mom and I have always been Saturday regulars. Even after I moved out, I'd insist on coming here every visit home, just so I could taunt my brother Joe with unflattering pictures of myself shoveling pistachio, his favorite, into my gaping mouth. But it's been ages since I've faced this crowd, and I'm not in the mood for it.
We picked the slow line.
Stop fussing.
I'm boiling.
I tug at the collar of my knit sweater for effect.
And you'll be cold once we step outside.
Mom toys with a strand of my lengthy hair. I'd dyed it black for years, but recently made the switch to a rich chestnut brown.
I'm so happy you're here.
I meet my mother's gaze, see her sincere smile, and I swallow the other complaints waiting to spill out. So am I. There's something about walking into Sam's and inhaling the sugary, sweet icing, sugar, and pastries. It transports me back to childhood every time. If only for a moment. She hesitates.
Especially since you missed Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Please don't start now.
I'm already irritated. A guilt trip will put me over the edge. You know why I didn't come home. Why I did the unthinkable and skipped the holidays with my family for the first time in my 30 years of life. It's not that I didn't want to see them. It killed me not to see them. But holidays with my family include our longtime friends, the Wrights, and there was no way I was spending Christmas watching a certain 6'3" Wright, the one I was supposed to marry, and his new woman suck back eggnog while canoodling in matching reindeer sweaters.
If you'd wanted me there badly enough, you should have banned them from visiting.
That would have put a strain on the relationship. And punishing everyone for his mistake.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
These things always happen for a reason. One day you'll look back and...
Cheating is cheating! Do not make excuses for bastard Bill!
I stab the air with my finger in warning.
I'm not!
The truth is, I don't think I'll ever look at him the same way again. But for Molly and Craig's sake, would you please stop calling their son that? Or I'm liable to do it in front of them accidentally? Would that be so bad? I know Mom's in a difficult position. The Wrights have lived next door to us for almost 3 decades. Our families have a long, entwined history. When my father injured his back and couldn't work construction any longer, Craig put his reputation on the line to get him a job at his company, even though my father didn't have the first clue about insurance or office work. Mom and Molly must have burned a trillion calories together over the years on their daily walks while venting about husbands and children. They travel to Mexico every winter together. I can't expect my parents to cast away those friendships because of what Bill did. I can't even blame my brother. When Bill and I first hooked up years ago, Joe was pissed. He wouldn't talk to either of us for days, and when he came around, he swore he'd never take sides between his sister and his best friend if we broke up, no matter what. I was shocked when Joe showed solidarity, punching Bill across the jaw and ignoring his calls for a few weeks. But I knew that wouldn't last. They've been best friends since the day they met. They went to college together and have never lived more than a 20-minute subway ride apart. They start every day swapping sports stats over the phone while sitting on their respective toilets.
Look, we're all disappointed with the situation.
The situation? She says it like Bill got a flat tire and was late to work one day. You mean when he got caught sticking his dick in his coworker? Close enough, given the explicit texts I discovered on his phone.
Justine?
Mom's cheeks flush as she scans around to see if anyone heard her daughter's crass remarks. Whatever, I huff. It's my own damn fault. I should never have taken him back in the first place. We dated while I was in college until Bill broke it off to figure things out. I was crushed. I'd been in love with him since I was 12. Imagine my surprise when he showed up at a family barbecue with Deborah. One wedding, a daughter, and a divorce later, he came crawling back to me. I should have seen myself for what I've always been to him, though. A fill-in until something better comes along. No wonder he was so hesitant to live together. And now he has Isabel, who Joe begrudgingly informed me has asked Bill to move into her midtown condo with her. He probably didn't blink when he said yes. Do they still have Oreo cannoli? I ask, abruptly changing the subject to keep my emotions in check before I turn into a lip-quivering mess.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Mom lifts her chin, trying to spy over the sea of shoulders. It's no use. She's even shorter than I am. They better, or Uncle Jay is gonna ride my ass hard.
Honestly, I don't know where you earned that mouth of yours.
From your father? Mom grunts, but doesn't deny it. She can't. Gramps was a sweet old man, but he could have headlined a Quentin Tarantino movie for all his cussing.
Speaking of your uncle, he's not happy with the man he hired to replace you.
I warned him that guy didn't know his head from his asshole, but he didn't listen. Through a narrow crack in the crowd, I spy the tray of limoncello cannoli dwindling. They're not the most popular, but they're my favorite, and they never make enough.
Your uncle is as stubborn and hard-headed as your father.
She pauses.
But he'd let you come back in a heartbeat.
I know. That's why Jay's driving to Boston this weekend, to promise me the sun, the moon, and the North Star until I agree to work for him again. I already told him no. I can't. I needed a big change.
You know what he said to your father the other day?
Mom drops her voice conspiratorially, though no one's listening.
When he kicks the bucket, he'll leave the company to you.
Come on, I snort. Jay isn't kicking any buckets anytime soon. My dad's baby brother is a fit 52-year-old who has no interest in retiring. And running a skilled trades agency isn't the life I want. Even though I had become a master at matching candidates with the right employers, I'd even started recruiting clients. Of the new companies we partnered with in the past year, I brought in 80% of them. Mom worries her lip as if weighing her next words. But selling refrigerators in a tiny town in Pennsylvania is? There it is, the judgment I've been waiting for. When I told her I'd started at Murphy's Appliances in Polson Falls a few weeks before Christmas, she asked the usual questions but didn't share her opinion. I knew it would come. I don't just sell fridges. Ovens, too. And washing machines, the occasional microwave.
Justine.
Like I said, it's temporary. The hours are good, there's no stress, and it's a 4-minute drive from home.
I don't see why you had to uproot your entire life.
There was nothing to uproot. Besides, Scarlett's in Pennsylvania.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?